Hello, hello, and this is the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs, hustlers, people in the industry and technology. And today, I have a guest that I met a couple months ago through another client, which tends to happen a lot. Maggie Nunez. She works with the realty office at the Pembroke Pines of Kais. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we really hit it off, and I worked with her in videos. And Maggie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I was born in Colombia. I came here when I was only 11 years old. That was very tough. You know, I was in New York, not knowing English, being the only Latin person. It was tough, but I appreciate all of that. It's made me stronger, right? All those experiences. I'm currently married, happily married, 6 years anniversary, not too long ago.
We Congratulations.
Thank you. We have a 5-year-old. I've been with Kais. It's going to be now going into 5 years, and it's been quite a ride.
It has. And when I first met you a couple of months ago, you were talking to me a little bit about your experience with sales, and that has kind of helped you out for today. Can you tell us a little bit about your hustle history?
Well, we're going to talk about hustle. I've done that more than just quite a bit. I mean, and I think I mentioned this to you before. You've named it, I've sold it, as long as it's legal. I mean, I mean, I used to sell pillowcases on call centers. I used to sell DirecTV. I used to sell the Rainbows, you know, those vacuum cleaners. They're like $2,500. I used to knock on people's doors. Let me do a presentation, and here I am selling you these vacuum cleaners. So, I mean, I've sold donuts. I used to, I remember one time with my sister, we for a 4th of July back in New York, we're like, how do we make some money? And we rented an ice cream truck, and that one evening we made like $800. I mean, back then I was like 14 years old. That to me was like, whoa.
$800 was a big amount, huge amount of money back then.
Yeah. But I mean, I love sales. It's not really sales. I just love interacting with people and talking to people and just, you know, you have a need, I want to help you.
I was listening to a pizza owner a podcast recently, and he was saying that he's into like the people business. You know, he sells pizza and everything, but he loves interacting with people and being a people person. How much do you have to be a people person in the sales business?
A lot. I mean, if you're not the type of person that you can walk into a room and start talking to people that you've never seen in your life, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, you may not be good at sales, or you just have to use a different approach, right? I'm not gonna say that just because you're not very open, that doesn't mean that you cannot be good at sales. But in my personal opinion, I think that what has helped me a lot is that I can, you know, I keep it very, very real. hey, what's going on? Like, you know, I just start a conversation with anybody at the light, we're at the line, you know, we're waiting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Me too. When I, you know, go to Publix or when I'm, you know, buying something at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, I have conversation with the barista, with the person that's selling the product, and is, yeah, being, you know, conversational. And, you know, to be honest, you know, maybe down the road they can give you a discount or things like that, or it prompts you to buy stuff from them more because they're so amazing. How did you get into real estate?
Well, it didn't happen just overnight. I mean, sometimes people ask me, "Oh my God, how is it that you can do so good? You know, you're getting these listings, you have these closings." It's been a long process. I mean, like the first time when it hit me, like, I would like to be a realtor. It was when we were back in New York. My mom was buying a home, and I saw the realtor doing the walkthrough, and she made a huge positive impression. And that was like the first time. And then during the whole process, you know, once I was in college, I worked in the relocation department, helping students find a place to, you know, a room to rent. And, you know, and little by little, it started, you know, I want to do this. I can
Wow, so this happened before you moved to Florida?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that part. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to be 12 years old when I told my mom, and she thought it was kind of cute.
But back then, your mom kind of made you work, or was it you? Or like, what was the whole thing that made you want to hustle early on in your teenage?
It was me. I remember one time I came to my mom and I said, listen, I signed up for this part-time job. She's like, what do you mean? But you're 12. What are you going to be doing? Oh, it turns out, you know, there are a lot of kids in hospitals and they have nothing to do, and we can collect funds to buy games for them. So I'm going to be knocking on people's doors, asking for donations, and I'm going to be selling. I used to sell like magazines and little things like that. And it, you know, and I was 12 and I was knocking on people's doors and just talking to adults, kids, and just like, hey, I got candy. Do you want to buy it? Like, you know, it's for this, it's for a good cause. So, and it's not just a matter of selling a product, but also doing it with a purpose. I think that says a lot about who you are. And, yeah. And I think that, you know, that's just who, you know, that's how I like to do business. Yeah.
Wow. So, as of recent, how did you get involved with Kai's and the real estate here in Florida?
Okay, so almost 5 years ago, my husband sat with me and he pretty much just confronted me like, all right, you keep saying you want to be a realtor, but you don't make that move. And I think it was extremely hard for me because I don't think I've ever been that afraid until that day when he said, quit your job and just do it. I'm like, no, let me do it part-time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you quit the job of yours and you do it and you give it all you have. And I did that, and it's been challenging, of course, absolutely. But then I began from there. I got my license and interviewed different brokers. And when I met with the current manager from the Pembroke Pines office at Kai's, you know, the connection was there. I feel like the company that I'm with, they're very family oriented, and I can relate to that, and that's why I chose them.
Yeah, it's interesting that you were talking about your husband challenging. That's an awesome husband. Like, of course he did it out of love.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But that was that very, like, you knew that he was going to do that, like have that talk with you, or was it surprising?
It was surprising. Because I, you know, the fact that he's also self-employed, you know, we had just, a newborn, and for him to just kind of say, quit your job, not kind of say it, he said it straightforward, quit your job and just do it on your own, become a realtor and just be awesome at it. I was like, wait, but like, you know, we have a income that I know I can count with on a monthly basis. But the way I see it, and he made me realize that that's like a false safety nest, because,
yeah.
Right? Don't you agree? I mean, yeah. You're also self-employed, and
yeah.
We have this conversation, which you've never worked for anybody in your life.
I only worked for Publix for 3 months.
Exactly. And then other than that, you've always been on your own,
yeah.
And you rock at what you do. So I like to relate with entrepreneurs, and it wasn't easy because I felt like, oh my gosh, what if I don't make it? So, yeah.
That's incredible. What do you know about real estate now that you did not know before?
Well, it's a lot more work than what I thought.
You could not have done it part-time.
No, there's no such a thing as doing it part-time. It's, I mean, it's a lot more work. I never imagined, even though I used to be a housing counselor for first time buyers. I used to, you know, work for a company in Miami that, you know, I did the whole short sales, loan modifications, all of that. And the experience that I gained working for them, it was amazing. But it was nothing, you know, I was still working 9 to 5. Monday through Friday. Now that I'm on my own, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, schedule's different.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could work from like 6 p.m., 9 p.m., or the next day from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Absolutely.
So that's something that, including myself, obviously, yes, I do have some, you know, set hours and everything, but sometimes the hours could be very, very different. And like you were saying, like, yeah, like you had a steady paycheck, you know, you had that thing to rely on just in case if your husband, something happened. But what it turned out to be pretty good. You're one of the top producers at your brokerage.
I am. Yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, first of all, and I've said this in many occasions, I can't take all the credit. I mean, God has really blessed me in many ways, right? The fact that I'm very passionate and goal-driven has helped me a lot, but also the experiences from the past. I mean, you can't just go take an exam, do the hours, get a license, and then boom, all of a sudden, you know,
you become a millionaire.
Yeah, it doesn't happen like that. And I haven't reached that level. Yeah, but I'm doing more than okay. And I like where I'm at, and I like where I'm going, right? But definitely my experiences from the past, now is like the puzzle. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes sense why I did that job. Oh. Okay, now I'm putting all those experiences all together, and I'm applying all of that here, you know, my experience in sales, my experiences where I worked with a salary, yeah, but it was very low, and my main income, it was coming from my commission. So that made me more like, I really have to hustle if I wanna be able to make it at the end of the month. So now it's like, I don't have that set monthly income, so it's all hustle.
Yeah, it is, and like I said, like, you know, there's 1 month where you make more money than the others, but that 1 month could carry you on for, you know, for a couple months, you know, down the year.
Yeah.
I've actually asked you this before, but can any salesperson become a realtor?
I don't think so.
Why?
When you're doing real estate, I've come to the conclusion, and I had that feeling, but now that I'm very involved in it, I can definitely say, and I came to the conclusion that, you know, real estate becomes extremely emotional. You're dealing with people that, you know, they're not just selling a car. They're not selling a pair of shoes, a purse. We're talking about memories, you know? We're talking about, oh, wow, I remember, look at this wall. I remember in a property in Weston, the seller was just telling me, oh, my gosh, in this bathroom, you can see, like, the little lines where she measured her kids. She's like, I wish I could just take this wall with me. So what I did, I just took a picture of it and gave it to her. So there are things that real estate is extremely emotional. Sometimes people are going through a divorce. So that sale may not be a happy one. You know, it's tough, you know.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
That's
I have,
tough.
And I'm between the husband, the wife. Now there's the kids, you know, and I have, you know, I work with sellers that, you know, that was their first home, 35 something years in there, and now their kids are grown. They need to, you know, downsize, you know, less money coming in. So it's like sweet and sour. So, you know, you have all different type of closings, but again, it's very emotional. So not every salesperson, I believe, they can be great as a realtor.
We brought this up about a couple months ago. You were saying that I think it's, which is a, was very smart. You have experience buying property. You own property. You are a landlord. Yes, and I think having that experience going to being a realtor makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Tell
us. Mean, to me, it would be very awkward, and I don't know if you agree with me. Will you hire me when I'm not even a homeowner?
That's a good point.
Right?
That's a very good point.
If you're an investor and you don't even, you know, you cannot even relate to an investor as, all right, you're going to be a landlord, right? You have no idea in terms of how do HOA works, right?
You've been there, done that.
I bought my first property when I was about to turn 23. I bought a condo in North Miami, and I didn't tell anybody in my family.
No way.
And the realtor that helped me, she's still my friend, and she also pushed me very hard to become an agent. She's also someone that from day one, she's like, Maggie, you will be so good at this. But
she's so, right. She was right.
And when I bought that property, everybody in my family was like, whoa, you know?
You made it big.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't, when you're 22, maybe you're not thinking about.
No, I mean, not at all, because we're almost like the same age. And back 22, 23, you're going in college, you're starting to work. I mean, and plus, you even said at 12 years old, you were starting, you know, I mean, to hustle. 12 years old, people are playing with their toys.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, these are a few rare stories, guys, where you meet people that hustle early, but also, you know, have success, you know, and who knows what's going to happen next, right?
Yeah.
If a person had to become a realtor today, if he's starting to take those courses, what would you tell him, him or her?
I will tell him or her to make sure you find someone that you can pretty much shadow along. Right? I'm actually one of the field trainers in my office. So basically, let's say you become an agent, right? And you can pick me as your field trainer. And what is that? That means I can go along with you and give you guidance and help you, because it's extremely hard. I mean, it's a jungle out there. I wake up every day when I'm getting ready. I was like, all right, let's do this. You know, let's go for it.
I was going to ask you about that. I know here in South Florida is really well known that realtors are well saturated. And you're like, one of the top producers. How do you, like, if a new person comes in, how do you want to, I mean, how do you tackle that? How do you put that mindset?
How do you tackle,
like, you know, dealing with so much competition? Like, is it something that it's able to overcome?
That's a good question, and I've gotten that even from friends of mine. They're like, oh my gosh, but there's so many realtors. Like, I turn around, I see the bench, I see the bus sign, I see this, I see all of that. But here's the thing, there's so many clients out there. There's
millions.
Enough for all of us. And the other thing is that just because you're also an agent, that doesn't mean I'm going to be helping the same people that you're going to be helping. Maybe you're working more with commercial. Maybe you're working more with only condos, right? Maybe you're more family oriented. So everybody has to first, when you become an agent, you have to make a, you know, you have to decide what type of market am I aiming for, right? I'm extremely family oriented. I do work with investors. I do. But I'm mainly working I work with a lot of first-time buyers. I work with a lot of sellers that are downsizing, moving into, you know, a condo. You know, they're getting, you know, close to their retirement age and all of that. So you have to understand your market and just work getting those leads.
I agree. I had one friend that started doing real estate investing last year. He's about 18 years old, and he's doing great now. There's room for competition. You know, don't be afraid. Obviously, you got to have like the right mindset. You got to ready to tackle it, and just able to maneuver in. You know, there's one other guy that I know, another realtor, doing well. You know, making a couple of closings per month. There's ways to tackle it. You just got to know. Mm-hmm. You just got to do it, and there's plenty of opportunity to do it. One other thing that I want to point out is that, you know, there was one day we were doing some filming, and you know, you got some clients in your own neighborhood. So it's not as hard as you think. If you, you know, become friends with your neighbor, And, you know, you don't have to be a realtor or anything, but for like any business, mm-hmm. be friends with your neighbors. That's where you first start off. Hey, I'm a realtor. I mean, they might not go to you like right now, but they could go to you, you know, years down the road. Or maybe months down the road.
Well, when you begin your business as real, you know, in the real estate business, when you become a realtor, most likely, and I've said this to newer agents in my office, right? I tell them, most likely those first closings, they will be someone that you already have a relationship with. It may be your, you know, your friend from the gym. It may be, you know, that mom that, you know, you take your son to swimming lessons. And you know that mom, and you know, so it's people that know you already. And the reason for that, and it goes back to, this is a business of relationship, and I really think that the only way you can stand out is people don't. And I really like this. I've said this. I mean, I have different quotes that I like, but the one that I use, people don't remember you because of what you have or because you're a top producer. People remember you because of the way you made them feel. You know, when I met you, I don't know, you tell me, when I met you, how you felt when, you know.
I felt at home. I felt very comfortable, very conversational. It was like, we could have a friendship, you know, and we built a relationship in business as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's key. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I usually, when I meet someone, I always try to find some icebreaker. Typically sports. Typically, hey, man, you know, how's this team doing? Players, things like that. Or I talk about foods or what's your favorite restaurant. I'm very relationship. Mm-hmm, I'm not sure if it's a Colombian thing, because we're both Colombian.
Maybe it's a Colombian thing. It's a Latin thing.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it works.
You just have to be you, right?
You gotta be you.
You have to be you. Absolutely. I mean, you can't fake it. I mean, my clients see the good and bad of me. The bad, you know, they see me sometimes at, you know, doing a show, you know, on a Saturday at 9 a.m. and they say like, oh my gosh, Megan, you look tired. Yes, I'm tired.
I'm
stayed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they get to see you.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes very dressed up. So they see everything, you know? So it's a let's keep a real business. That's the way I see it.
Exactly. Who is your favorite entrepreneur?
My husband.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, he is. And I don't even know if he knows that.
Hey, now he knows. How long has he been doing his own business, which he's a handyman, right?
Yeah. Yes. He began when he was like around 16. He bought a landscape a lawnmower mm-hmm. on a garage sale, and then he got another one that somebody gave it to him, and he started knocking on people's doors and just offering his landscape business services, and it was just him. And now he's actually doing the maintenance in that entire community, and now we live in that community. We're not only... We're homeowners, and that business now has grown. You know, he has a landscape business, and he's done a lot of the remodeling jobs in many of my, you know, of my listings. Right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. You did mention this already. What is your favorite quote?
Well, yeah, I mentioned it already. You know, but that's one of them, and I also have another one that I use and I apply it to myself in many situations. Even when it's bad, it's still good, and that's not really. I can't take all the credit. That's from my grandpa.
Which I actually live by that as well. When I see something negative, I put a positive note to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so like when, and I'm going to apply this now that we're talking about my career, you know, we as a realtor, not every closing, or most like, let me rephrase that. All closings have ups and downs. Right. There's never an easy closing. There's always that something comes up. And even when it's bad, it's good. I mean, you learn from it, right? And even when you have an extremely tough deal, at least you have a deal. It's better than not having a deal. So,
I agree.
So
I
even
mean,
right?
$1 is better than zero.
Yeah. So even when it's bad, it's still good. So you know, and I don't say it as complaining and nagging. I say it so I can apply more in the positive way.
Exactly. That's quite interesting. It's funny because I had like the same mindset as you. You know, you just see something, you know, tragic happens, but then you put up like a positive twist to it. Well, maybe this is going to happen. Something better is going to happen down the road. Ready for some random questions?
All right, let's do it.
This is a perfect girl question, I think. I think guys, I don't know, they don't answer it well. What behavior makes you think a person is creepy?
Oh, wow. What behavior when you're stuck in someone? Like, too many phone calls, too many messages. That gets a little awkward, right?
That is a good answer.
Yeah.
That's typically one of the top women answers. That or being stalked.
Yeah, yeah. That gets a little, what just happened there?
That's a good answer. Good thing you said that.
You know, we all have a, like a personal space.
Yeah. Little firewall, call it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you don't have to say it, but sometimes when you have someone
always texting you or like bombarding your phone, that's just not comfortable. Happens to me a lot too. Are you scared of flying?
Yes. Wow. I am. Wow, I was not expecting that.
Me either. I just saw the question.
I am. And I always try to play it like I'm not, but I am.
But you still do it. You still get on the plane.
Of course. Yeah, I still get on the plane. I don't really sleep when I'm on planes. I remember once in traveling Colombia with my dad, and there was a lot of turbulence, and I started screaming super loud. I was probably like 9 years old. No, not even. I was like going into 11. That was right before our going away trip in Colombia, before coming here to United States. And the plane was going down and a lot of turbulence, and I started screaming like, "We're gonna die!"
Of all the flights I've been on, typically when I go over Colombia, it's like the mountains pull it down, I think, is what I heard. Besides that, I mean, I haven't had issues.
Yeah.
Well, when there's like one time there was like a big thunderstorm, typically.
Yeah, that day we had a
thunderstorm. It never goes down.
But no.
A plane never goes down for a thunderstorm or like some gravity pull.
It doesn't. It's always for something.
Yeah, typically some type of other thing that happens.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't go down.
Let's not even, yeah.
Yeah. What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
Ooh. Wow. It will get easier. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's it. And you just leave.
Yeah.
Which movie can you see again and again?
I have a few of those.
That's awesome.
But Life is Beautiful.
That's a good one.
That one.
That one
I like
is tough.
It.
Wow, I'll cry every time.
Wow.
I don't know if I can see that every day.
Well, the thing is that it just, again, and I don't want to ruin the movie for anybody, but if you can just keep up that attitude in front of your kids and even in front of your, you know, in front of yourself, because you're, you know, you're telling yourself,
yeah,
it's all good, we're gonna, you know, get out of this. I mean, and if you can have that perspective on your everyday life, that's amazing.
Well, Maggie, we're going towards the end of the show. How can people reach you?
Online, I'm on Instagram under The Maggie Nunes, and on Facebook, I'm also under Maggie Nunes. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to reach me. Even if you Google me, Maggie Nunes, Realtor, I come up there.
Which also, you know, you can always reach her, you know, if you're at that stage where if you want to think about becoming a realtor.
Yeah.
Or if you're in school, if you're in the realtor school and you're like, I'm still, you know, going back and forth, contact Maggie and she'll tell you straight up, because she trains as well first time realtors.
Yeah. And I actually had a client of mine. It was a rental, and we did like a video, which I don't really like do videos, but now I'm getting more into it.
You're very good at it. I'm not sure. You have a great way with the camera. It's great.
So, that client of mine, we did an interview and she asked me tips about becoming an agent.
There you go. Yeah, guys, if you have any concerns, and it could be anywhere in the country, not just in South Florida. My friend just became a realtor as well, so it's just, there's always those questions, those doubts, but Maggie did it pretty quick. And obviously, what I like about you is, like, you know, a lot of realtors don't take rentals, but you do, because you plant those seeds.
Absolutely.
Because maybe, you know, down the road, that person wants to buy, hopefully.
I have those, actually. Yeah. And we've talked about these. I do work with people who are renting.
Any final words?
Just find that one thing that you really love doing and stick with it. Consistency, it's easier said than done, but just stick to it.
Maggie, I appreciate you coming to the Sling On Productions podcast.
Thank you. Have fun.